John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. In September 2023, 32-year-old Chelsea Grimm left California on a cross-country drive to attend a wedding. She packed her camera gear, camping supplies, and her pet bearded dragon, and headed east to Connecticut. But somewhere in northern Arizona, something began to unravel. Days after starting her trip, a police officer found her parked near a cemetery. Body camera footage captured her speaking calmly, but saying she was emotional from a photo shoot. 2 days after that, her car was discovered deep in the Kaibab National Forest. 2 flat tires, no phone, no wallet, no sleeping bag. And no sign of Chelsea or her bearded dragon. No footprints, no struggle, and no answers. Where is Chelsea Grimm? To find out what happened to Chelsea, we need to know what it was like in the last place she was seen. Williams and Ash Fork, Arizona, sit along a quiet, haunted stretch of northern Arizona where pine forests give way to high desert and the wind seems to carry stories forever. Williams is known as the gateway to the Grand Canyon, the last town on Route 66 to be bypassed by the interstate, and one of the few places where that old road still feels alive. There are neon motel signs buzzing at night, classic roadside diners, souvenir shops, and the low hum of travelers passing through on their way to something bigger. Tourists come to the Grand Canyon Railway, the vintage charm of old Route 66, and the thrill of standing just miles from one of the most famous natural landmarks in the world. Now, Williams was once a rough railroad town in the late 1800s, born from logging camps and rail crews. The ponderosa pines that surround it made it a timber hub, and the railroad turned it into a supply stop for travelers, miners, and settlers heading west. Even now, you can feel that old Western energy in the boardwalk-style shops and historic storefronts, a town built for people who never planned to stay long, just long enough to rest. Ash Fork is quieter, smaller, and more isolated. It was once known as the flagstone capital of the world, supplying slate and stone for railroads and buildings across the country. Where Williams feels tourist-friendly, Ash Fork feels like a place time forgot. Wide skies, scattered houses, long dirt roads, and an overwhelming sense of distance. It sits near vast stretches of Kaibab National Forest, where trees feel denser, the air feels heavier, and sound seems to disappear. The landscape here is deceptive. By day, it looks peaceful. Pine-scented air, dry grass, volcanic rock, winding dirt roads. but temperatures can swing quickly. Cell service disappears without warning. And once you leave the paved highways, you can drive for miles without seeing another car, gas station, or building. People visit this region for solitude, for stargazing, for forest camping, and for the feeling of being tiny in a massive world. They come to disconnect. They come to breathe. They come to disappear from their normal lives for a few quiet days, which, in some stories, is exactly what makes this place so breathtaking and so terrifying. But to really understand what could happen to someone out there, you have to understand what it feels like to stand in this landscape. Surrounded by sky, surrounded by trees, surrounded by silence. And in Chelsea's story, this wasn't just scenery. It was the last place she was ever known to be.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chelsea Grimm was born on March 22, 1991, to Stephen and Janet Grimm, with a younger sister, Sarah. The people who loved her described Chelsea as the kind of person who made spaces feel lighter just by walking into them. She was funny without trying, naturally warm, the kind of friend who remembered your favorite song, your bad days, and your best stories. She collected friends everywhere she went, but she also collected quiet moments, long drives with the windows down, playlists that felt like diaries, late-night conversations when the world felt too loud. Chelsea had a soft heart and a restless one. She lived openly with depression and didn't pretend otherwise. She talked about it with friends and family. She believed in saying things out loud instead of letting them rot in the dark. And that honesty made people trust her and lean on her, even when she was still figuring out how to hold herself together. In 2008, when she was still a teenager, her parents enrolled her in a wilderness program near Mesa, Arizona. Now, on paper, these places are framed as therapeutic. But in reality, many have been exposed for harsh, isolating conditions that often make things worse, not better. For Chelsea, it appears to have been one of the first times she learned what it meant to be alone in a loud kind of silence. And she later finished high school through a wilderness-style boarding school in Montana, and much about that time remains private. But what's clear is that Chelsea learned how to survive, how to build a small kind of safety in a big, empty space. She wasn't naturally an outdoorsy kid, but she became comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's where something in her shifted. In Montana, Chelsea fell in love with photography. Not in a polished influencer way, but in a quiet documentary way. She loved chasing sunsets, waiting for the light to break perfectly across the horizon. She would pull over on highways just to catch the sky at its most dramatic. And photography gave her a way to slow down and pay attention. She wasn't just interested in landscapes. She was drawn to people, especially the ones others ignored. She called them the forgotten people of America. She talked to strangers, listened at bus stops, spent time with people most of us avoid eye contact with. And then she photographed them with dignity. She moved to New York and earned her master's degree in social work from NYU in 2019. Helping people wasn't just a career move. It felt like a calling. She wanted to be the steady presence she'd once searched for. She believed deeply that people could be helped, not just labeled. Chelsea worked as a 12th grade social worker and therapist with the New York City Department of Education, supporting students who were balancing school, trauma, housing insecurity, and futures that felt fragile. She was good at it, not because she had all the answers, but because she listened without judgment. Around her first year of college, Chelsea began a long-term relationship that lasted nearly 10 years. But when it ended in 2020, just as the world shut down, the timing couldn't have been crueler. The city emptied, her job stalled, her relationship had ended. Now, the isolation hits differently when you're already carrying invisible weight. Eventually, she found her way out west. She became involved with a musician, producer, and they moved to Ocean Beach in San Diego. Now, for a while, life softened again. She lived just steps from the ocean. Salt air, long walks, film cameras. She focused on photography and worked with teenagers in the area, balancing creative life with purpose. Then came another heartbreak. He moved back to New York, and Chelsea stayed in San Diego. In 2022, she met Philip Brenner, who went by PJ. He was a drifting street performer, a self-styled musician who played around Venice Beach and talked about fame like it was just around the corner. He had a bearded dragon named Roxy, who quickly became part of Chelsea's daily life. Now, Chelsea had a habit of just caring too hard, of taking people in, of seeing potential instead of red flags. PJ slowly folded into her life. He lived in her apartment, drove her car, relied on her financially. And Chelsea became his center of gravity, and Roxy's caretaker too. There were rumors and accusations from a neighbor involving drugs. But those claims were disputed, and Chelsea obtained a restraining order against that neighbor. While we don't know what's rumor, we do know what's documented. PJ had drawn attention from the San Diego Police Department's Narcotics Division. So, I'd say there was some kind of truth from that neighbor. And later, Chelsea went on another wilderness-style retreat in northern Arizona. And when she came back, she had stories about new friends and experiences her family had never heard of. Something about that trip seemed to change her. And back home, the relationship with PJ unraveled. Chelsea told her parents that when she tried to leave, he became abusive, that he began stalking her, that he wouldn't let go. She took out a restraining order against him just days before she would vanish. And when the relationship finally ended, Chelsea kept Roxy, and she hoped things would go quiet. But they didn't. He kept calling, texting, showing up. Chelsea was afraid. And yet, Chelsea was also spontaneous, restless. Instead of staying stuck for too long, she made sudden decisions when her emotions peaked. She trusted the feeling of movement. In September of 2023, she was supposed to fly to Connecticut to meet her parents for a wedding. But the airlines wouldn't allow Roxy on board. So she pivoted. She decided to drive. She planned to camp, photograph, and drift through small towns, to continue documenting the forgotten people of America. It felt like a reset button, a personal pilgrimage fueled by instinct instead of itinerary. But this wasn't a casual trip. It was long, remote, lonely, difficult even for experienced campers. She packed her car anyway, cameras, supplies, and her bearded dragon. But whatever Chelsea believed this trip would be, it wasn't what it became. So now we follow that road, because the story of Chelsea Grimm doesn't end with who she was. It begins with where she went. Let's dive into the last road trip she took.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It was September 24th, 2023, when Chelsea Grimm left San Diego. She loaded up her car, packed with camping gear, a camera, and that beloved bearded dragon, and set out on what was supposed to be a cross-country odyssey. Her final destination? Connecticut, to meet family and attend a wedding. By September 27th, she had reached Phoenix, Arizona. Now, if you've driven from San Diego to Phoenix, you know it doesn't really take 3 days. Maybe if you fill it with a few stops. So the fact that she spread it out suggested she was moving quite slowly, maybe deliberately. Maybe stopping for a lot of photos. Maybe just breathing. Maybe listening to the rhythm of the road. This kind of spontaneous emotional road trip wasn't unusual for Chelsea. She'd done this before, driven long distances, changing plans halfway through, chasing sunsets, stopping for photos, trusting her instincts instead of a schedule. The day she arrived in Phoenix, she met a friend for lunch, maybe a small anchor of normalcy. She had plans to meet the friend again the next day together with her sister. But just hours later, everything changed. She pulled into a motel in Seguin, Arizona, and called her mom. She told her she couldn't make it to Connecticut. She said the drive felt too long, too overwhelming to make by herself. And then she said something that changed the tone of everything. She told her mom she believed PJ had followed her, that he had somehow tracked her down, that she felt like she was being hunted, that she was on the run. She asked her mom if she would pay for her to go to Canyon Ranch, a high-end wellness and rehab-style treatment resort. Now, Chelsea believed that if she could just get somewhere, anywhere, protected and quiet, that she would be safe. But her mother said no. An argument followed, and Chelsea was clearly distraught. Not angry, but terrified. She felt like this was her last lifeline, and she felt it slipping away. Before hanging up, she told her mom, "If you call me back, I won't have service. I'll reach out when I get back to Ocean Beach." Now, after that, every call her mother made went straight to voicemail. That was the last time her mother ever heard her voice. Next, Chelsea called her sister. She canceled the lunch plans for the next day. When her sister tried calling back, the calls went straight to voicemail. And that was the last time her sister ever heard her voice. Later that same night, Chelsea attempted to book a motel room, but asked to pay with leftover euros from a backpacking trip across Europe. She told the hotel owner she was trying to avoid an abusive ex and wanted to stay off-grid. She also refused to give a phone number, and even told the clerk she threw out her SIM card so she couldn't be reached. She eventually offered a debit card and then changed her mind and left, saying it wasn't a good idea to use it. Then she walked out into the desert alone. The next evening, September 28th, around 8:30 at night, police responded to a call about a suspicious car parked near a graveyard and war memorial in Williams, Arizona, which is roughly 100 miles north of Phoenix. Inside the car was Chelsea. The body camera footage shows her speaking calmly with the officer. He asked if she was okay. She said, "I'm okay. I was just doing a photo shoot of the lost soldiers, and I got a little emotional. I was crying before I got back on the road." He asked where she was staying, and she said she planned to camp. He told her camping wasn't allowed within city limits, but suggested she could park and sleep at the Love's truck stop without anyone bothering her. Chelsea told him she'd probably go to the truck stop for the night so she could catch sunrise photos the next morning. Later, Chelsea's dad would watch that footage. And what struck him the most was something very small. She told the officer, "I appreciate your compassion." And her father said that sounded exactly like her. While it's not known what she did that night or the next, some accounts say that around 9:30 p.m., Chelsea was found driving through a private driveway and yard in the area. She appeared lost and possibly disoriented, and then drove away into the dark. On September 30th, a local woodcutter checking his logging route noticed a car that had been parked in the forest for almost 5 hours. So he pulled over, worried. It was Chelsea. He asked if she was okay. She told him she was just camping and taking photos, and that he'd missed a beautiful sunset. And then, something that might feel small, but isn't. As the woodcutter left, Chelsea lifted her camera. She took a photograph of his truck through her driver's side mirror. She specifically captured the license plate. And that photo exists. It was found later on her camera. Now, to many women, the intention feels painfully familiar. You take the photo in case you need proof later, in case something happens, in case you need someone to know who saw you. Now, earlier that same day, she had taken another photo, one investigators also later found on her camera. She was standing in front of her car holding wildflowers. Her car is in the background, and the two back doors and driver's side door appear to be wide open. Belongings are scattered on the ground, and she's barefoot in rough desert terrain, filled with sharp plants, thorns, weeds, snakes, spiders, scorpions. Not a place you casually stand around barefoot. And after that, she vanished. There were no more sightings, no more photos, no more messages. So on October 4th, her parents could no longer deny the dread, and they reported Chelsea missing. On October 5th, just one day after her family officially reported her missing, hunters traveling through a remote dirt road in Kaibab National Forest, northeast of Ash Fork, Arizona, spotted something odd. It was a white SUV parked in the middle of a forest road. The tires on the right side were flat. The Forest Service Road 6 winds through vast stretches of rugged wilderness, a territory of volcanic rock, scrub, pines, and silence. They didn't report the car at first. Maybe they thought it was someone just camping, but when they passed by again and saw the vehicle still there, locked, abandoned, deflated tires and all, they called it in. Law enforcement arrived early on October 6th. It was Chelsea's car. The SUV was a sorry sight, functional in many ways, except for those shredded tires. The hood and front bumper bore scratches and bits of tree branch embedded in the paint, the kind of wear that suggests the tires didn't just go flat from age, but from being shredded, possibly by sharp rocks or nails or something worse. The vehicle was locked. Chelsea's wallet, driver's license, phone, sleeping bag, and her pet dragon were all gone. Among the small belongings left behind was her camera, the same camera she used to document the landscapes and the people she encountered, the forgotten people she always sought out. Her tent was also left behind. Now, the fact that she abandoned her camera struck everyone who knew her as deeply out of character. What followed was desperate hope. Authorities launched an extensive search within a roughly 3-mile radius around where the car was found. Ground teams fanned out through the forest, scrub, and rocky terrain. They used canines, combed ridgelines, followed dry washes. But days passed, then weeks, and no trace of Chelsea. No footprints, no sign of the bearded dragon, no clue of where she might have gone. Her family refused to give up. They hired a private investigator to join the search. Friends and relatives traveled to Arizona themselves to help. They posted flyers. They knocked on doors in nearby towns. They checked every logging route, every forest access road, every remote clearing. They chased every tip, but the forest remained silent. Investigators notified police in other states in case Chelsea had somehow left the region. They scoured cell phone records, bank records, credit card trails. Everything was cold. No movements, no withdrawals, no messages. Her digital life was erased. After a few weeks, the official search was scaled down. The intense, time-sensitive rescue effort became a recovery mission, with the grim assumption that perhaps Chelsea wandered into the rugged wilderness, lost and alone, or that she took her own life somewhere remote. The hope that someone out there had seen her quietly vanished into dust along with those flat tires. Her impounded vehicle was eventually sold at auction. The apartment she'd rented had been occupied by her ex, who reportedly had been squatting there. By December, the case had faded from the headlines. Friends stopped visiting. The posters came down. The constant buzz of, "Have you heard the news?" slowed to nothing. But her parents kept the candle burning. They were not about to give up on the search for Chelsea. But with no clues, no footprints, no tire tracks, no dragon, no personal effects, all that's left are questions. Did Chelsea try to hike out and get lost in those steep, unforgiving ridgelines? Did she accept a ride from a stranger? Did she vanish voluntarily? Or was something more sinister at play? We only have fragments. A locked car with shredded tires, a camera left behind, silence, grief, and theories. Let's dive in on those theories.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Before Chelsea ever left San Diego, she was scared. She told her parents she was afraid of her ex-boyfriend, PJ. She said he had become obsessive after the breakup, that he was stalking her, that he wouldn't stop calling, texting, showing up, that she felt like she was being hunted. In the days leading up to her disappearance, she even took out a restraining order. And after she vanished, PJ's behavior raised even more questions than answers. He refused to sit down with the police. He declined to cooperate with the private investigator. He withheld details about Chelsea's emotional state and about the true nature of their relationship in the days before the trip. Yet, at the same time, he inserted himself into the spotlight. On social media, he posted publicly about Chelsea. He positioned himself as a grieving partner. At one point, he attempted to create a GoFundMe campaign for the search, describing himself as her fiancé, despite the fact that Chelsea's family said they were no longer together. In the fundraiser, he claimed Chelsea had simply run out of gas and set a goal of $30,000 to fund his own involvement in the search. Chelsea's parents publicly warned people not to donate. They said the fundraiser was misleading. They said PJ was not acting in good faith. He stole the money that was raised, and instead of helping search for Chelsea, he bought a bus ticket and disappeared. He ended up in Tennessee, where he was arrested for a previous charge of trespassing. He was jailed and later released. Now, to many of the people looking from the outside in, this behavior felt off, to say the least. It was disjointed, opportunistic, and self-serving. But here's the complicated part. Law enforcement has publicly stated that PJ did not physically harm Chelsea while she was in Arizona. Police were already aware of him. He had drawn attention from the San Diego Police Department's Narcotics Division. They knew where he was. They tracked his activity. They were watching him the entire time for totally unrelated reasons. And they determined that he was not in Arizona at the time of Chelsea's vanishing. So, they ruled him out as a direct suspect in causing her physical disappearance. The theory police lean toward is a crisis in the wilderness. Not because it's the most dramatic, but because, in their experience, it's the one that happens quietly, far more often than we want to admit. The idea is this. Chelsea suffered a mental health crisis somewhere deep in northern Arizona. By the time her car came to rest on that Forest Service road with two shredded tires, she was no longer thinking as the woman her family knew. What happened next was disorientation, fear, confusion. We know she felt like she was being hunted. She tried to pay for a hotel in euros and refused to use her debit card. She was sleeping in her car and camping in the rugged wilderness. She was barefoot in photos taken just hours before she vanished. Now, police look at that and see an unraveling. Someone who may have believed she was being followed, even if she wasn't. Someone who may have trusted the forest more than people. They believe she left the car on her own. Not running from someone, not forced, just walking. Maybe she thought she heard something, or that someone was nearby. Maybe the shredded tires felt like proof that she was being tracked. So she grabbed what she thought she needed, wallet, phone, sleeping bag, and her bearded dragon, and stepped away from the only piece of civilization she had left. And once she stepped into that forest, the rules of survival changed. That area is massive. The Kaibab National Forest wraps around the Grand Canyon. Millions of acres of trees, ravines, volcanic rock, hidden washes, caves, cliffs. No clear paths, no cell service, no landmarks. The search teams covered a 3-mile radius. But wilderness doesn't work in neat circles. A confused person can walk for miles without realizing it. They can fall into dry ravines, crawl under brush for warmth, sit down to just rest, and never get up. And then there's the wildlife. Mountain lions live in that forest. So do bears, coyotes. And most of the time, predators leave signs. But what if no one looked in the right place yet? This theory isn't about blame. It's about how quickly the human brain can betray itself. When fear is layered on exhaustion, isolation, and open wilderness. Police believe she may be somewhere under pine needles and volcanic rock, hidden by drifting leaves and quiet forest growth. It's not a sensational theory. It's not even a satisfying one. But it's the kind that happens every year to hikers, campers, travelers, people who simply step too far in the wrong direction when their mind is somewhere else. But what if Chelsea chose to disappear? Now, this seems to be the theory her parents hope is the case. Not because it's the easiest, but because it's the only one that still leaves room for hope. They believe it could have been Chelsea's choice to disappear, not out of selfishness or cruelty, but out of desperation, out of searching, out of wanting to shed the life she had started to feel too heavy in. When Chelsea's parents appeared on America's Most Wanted, they shared something that shifted the tone of the story. Inside her car, investigators had found a handwritten list, a to-do list. On it were things Chelsea wanted to do. Not practical things, not survival steps, but spiritual things. One was that she wanted to read the Bible, and another that she wanted to be baptized. Her parents believe this wasn't just some random list. It wasn't poetic, and it wasn't emotional. They believe it may have been a sign that Chelsea was searching for something bigger, a different kind of life, and a different kind of identity. Northern Arizona is known for attracting spiritual offshoots, desert communes, off-grid religious groups, spiritual survivalists, people who live disconnected by choice, people who don't want to be found. Now, the desert is empty, but it's not uninhabited. There are communities built around isolation, around rebirth, around shedding your old self and surrendering your past completely. To her parents, it feels possible. Chelsea had just left a relationship filled with fear. She felt hunted, unsafe, spiritually empty. Like she needed to become someone else to survive. And here she was, deep in the desert, writing about baptism, reading scripture, wanting transformation. If she encountered a group that promised safety, structure, purity, a clean slate, would she have gone? Possibly. Now, of course, we have to look at foul play in Chelsea's case. Because Chelsea didn't disappear in a city full of cameras and witnesses. She vanished in a wide open wilderness, where people passed through without leaving names behind. Hunters, truckers, off-grid workers, travelers, men who don't leave paper trails. The way her car was found raises questions that haven't gone away. Two shredded tires, right side only, parked on a Forest Service road used by logging trucks and forest workers. Maybe someone stopped to help and saw this as a crime of opportunity. One widely discussed theory online is that the woodcutter knows more than he's saying. I mean, she did take that photo of his truck and license plate. Was she scared of him? Was she trying to tell us something? And if Chelsea walked away from her vehicle because the tires were flat, she didn't have many options. No cell service, no clear landmarks, miles of forest, miles of silence. The logical thing, the human thing, would have been to walk toward help, toward noise, movement, toward the nearest highway. Forest Road 6 connects to areas frequented by trucks, by workers, by people moving in and out for jobs that don't require background checks or permanent records. She may have reached the highway and someone could have stopped. A ride would have felt like a rescue. But what if it wasn't? What if it was the wrong person? Crimes of opportunity don't start with planning. They start with timing. A lone woman, a broken down car, a remote road, no witnesses, no phone signal. In this theory, it's just the worst of human behavior meeting the most vulnerable moments of Chelsea's life. No matter which theory feels most plausible, whether Chelsea wandered alone into the wilderness, walked toward a new life, or crossed paths with the wrong person, the most chilling truth remains the same. There is still no evidence, no confirmed sightings, no footprints, no trail, no answers. Her parents are still out there, still waiting, still searching for even the smallest piece of truth about what happened to their daughter. Chelsea Grimm is not just a theory. She's a missing person. And until someone comes forward, until something is found, her story stays unfinished. Which is why, before we move on, it's important to talk about what her case can teach us. Not about fear, but about awareness. So that travelers, campers, and solo explorers can protect themselves in places where silence can become dangerous. So, let's talk about safety.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Travel is supposed to feel like freedom. An open road, a full tank of gas, a map that promises possibility instead of danger. But Chelsea's story reminds us that the same road that feels like escape can also become isolation, especially when you're traveling alone, grieving, scared, or trying to outrun something that still feels close behind. Chelsea wasn't just on a trip. She was leaving. Leaving a relationship that frightened her, leaving someone she believed might be following her. And there's a special kind of vulnerability that comes with that. Because when you're escaping, your decisions are driven by fear, not comfort. You don't always stop where it's safest. You stop where it feels furthest away. If you're traveling solo across the country, something simple becomes life-saving. And that's letting people know exactly where you're going and when you plan to arrive and sticking to those check-ins. Not vague, I'll call you later promises, but specific plans. I'll be in Flagstaff by 5 p.m. If you don't hear from me by 8, call me. That kind of structure can make the difference between someone looking for you in hours instead of days. Now, traveling with an animal adds another layer. Chelsea wasn't just thinking about herself. She had a small, fragile life depending on her. And when you travel with a pet, especially an exotic animal, your priorities shift. You may avoid hotels. You may choose isolation over help. You may park in quiet, dark places so no one notices you. But quiet places are where help is hardest to find. The desert itself demands respect. Arizona is beautiful. But it's brutal. Distances are deceptive. Cell service disappears fast. Temperatures swing wildly between day and night. What feels like a short walk can turn deadly in minutes. What feels like a safe place to park can become a maze of identical dirt roads you can't retrace. No water, no landmarks, and no witnesses. And if your car fails, if your tires shred, your battery dies, or your engine overheats, your world can shrink to whatever is within walking distance. And when your car breaks down in a remote area, the instinct is to fix it fast or leave it fast. But one of the safest choices is often the hardest, and that's to stay with the vehicle. A car is visible. A person on foot in the wilderness is not. Leaving a disabled vehicle in the desert, especially alone, is one of the most dangerous survival decisions a traveler can make. Camping alone adds another quiet risk. When you're exhausted, scared, or emotionally overwhelmed, your awareness drops. You take shortcuts, You assume someone nearby is safe because they look normal, friendly, helpful. Predators don't always look like monsters. They look like loggers, hunters, truck drivers, tourists, boyfriends, strangers offering help. Chelsea was carrying the invisible weight of survival, leaving someone abusive. And when you're fresh from that kind of control, your internal compass is off. You're more likely to second-guess your instincts, more likely to freeze instead of fight, more likely to aim for peace at any cost, even if that peace means trusting the wrong person, stopping in a bad place, or not wanting to draw attention to yourself. And then there's the stalker fear. Even if no one was physically there, the feeling of being followed reshapes every decision. You stop answering calls. You throw away SIM cards. You disappear on purpose. But isolation, while it feels like safety, often creates more danger. Because when something goes wrong, there's no one left to notice. Chelsea's story isn't about scaring people away from travel. It's about respect for distance, for wilderness, for fear, and for your intuition. If someone makes you feel wrong, leave. If a place feels off, don't stay. If your gut says this isn't safe, listen. Even if it feels dramatic, even if it feels inconvenient. Because sometimes survival isn't about bravery. It's about allowing yourself to be seen, tracked, helped, and found. And Chelsea deserved that chance. Chelsea Grimm was last seen in the areas of Williams and Ash Fork, Arizona, on September 30th, 2023. She was traveling with her bearded dragon, a small companion she adored and was rarely without, often perched gently on her shoulder. People who loved Chelsea are certain she would never have abandoned her pet willingly. She was 32 years old when she disappeared. She has strawberry blonde hair, blue eyes, and a vine and leaves tattoo that wrapped along her left arm. She stood about 5'8" and weighed between 115 and 135 pounds. Chelsea is someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's friend. She mattered then, and she still does now. If you know anything, even something that feels small, uncertain, or easily dismissed, you could help bring a family closer to awareness. If you have any information at all, please reach out to the Coconino County Sheriff's Office at 928-774-4523. You can remain anonymous, and your kindness would make an unimaginable difference. Her family is still waiting, and Chelsea is still out there, wanting to be found. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/The Last Trip Podcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.